Well, good evening, saints. You ready for the heavens to be opened? Are you ready to see Him? I'm telling you, with all that's going on out here, it could be soon, wouldn't it? It could be soon. I may not understand it all, but I don't have to. All I got to do is just trust in Him.
Amen.
I want to read you a couple articles right quick, a couple short articles. Men, did you know that you're the reason for all the problems in this country? Did you know that you're the one that brought division in this country? Shame on you, Will. Burn, shame on you. Jim? Well, at least to Hillary Clinton, anyway, that's what she says. I mean, isn't she the authority? Huh? Well, this is what she says. Hillary Clinton suggests conservative white males division. During an appearance on the Morning Joe show, former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has sparked controversy after suggesting that conservative white men who hold traditional values are contributing to the national division. This was in the wake of the Charlie Kirk public slaying. Traditional values and white men. The idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, let's say, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, that's you conservative evangelical Christians, and a certain ideology. In other words, we believe in families, we believe in traditional values, we don't believe in murder and lying, and we believe in truth, and all the things that the Scriptures teach us is what we believe. This is our ideals. I told you, shame on you. And here we're the blame. It's just doing so much damage to what we should be aiming for. What are we aiming for then? Well, that's for sure. I mean, we come here and we learn what God says as truth. And that's what we're aiming for. And this is what we believe. But yet we're the problems. Well, in their eyes, we are the problems. Where did I leave off at? A certain persuasion, certain religion, and a certain ideology. This is just doing so much damage to what we should be aiming for, she told host Joe Scarborough. Clinton's comments came in response to the segment reflecting on U.S. history and the nation's ongoing struggle for equality, including the legacy of slavery and the Civil War. They just can't leave it alone. While expressing her patriotism, oh boy, and respect for free speech. Now see, their free speech is, and their First Amendment rights is, if it's what they believe. The rest of us, we don't have free speech, and they want to shut us up. But if it goes along with what their false teaching teaches, and this is just the way that Marxists are, okay, and really atheists are. And Satan is, they don't want you to hear the truth. Okay. While expressing her patriotism and respect for free speech, Clinton warned against what she sees as a regressive movement within those on the right. I'm proud of the fact that we have always been a work in progress. We haven't gotten to the most perfect union, she said. Freedom of speech and the ability to protest is what makes us so special as a country. Only if you agree with them. If you don't agree with them, that's not good. Here was another article that I found real interesting. Appeals court reverses pro-Planned Parenthood ruling. And we've talked a little bit about this before, about abortion and abortion rights. And y'all know where I stand, and it's what the Bible teaches us. But a federal appeals court has ruled that abortion organizations such as Planned Parenthood can be, and I love this, folks, can be denied tax dollars as ongoing lawsuits persist. Now, if you don't get the gist of this, what has happened since Donald Trump took office a year ago, he's cut their funding out. Regardless of what you think about him, he has saved thousands of babies' lives over the past year. And our son-in-law that went into Tennessee politics some years ago, he said, the only reason I went into is to do what I could do to save the babies. And he proposed to the state of Tennessee the heartbeat bill. And Governor Bill Lee, fine man, said, Mike, you get it passed, I will sign it. And he got it passed. Now, it's still in effect. He did his part. He's no longer in politics, but he did his part to save as many babies as he could. Now, we don't know what the future holds and what the courts will do to it. They immediately said, well, we're going to sue, we're going to take it to court and all this kind of, and they didn't do nothing. But in the same way with Donald Trump. He says the bill blocked the federal Medicaid fund for 1 year for nonprofit organizations that offered abortions and received no more than $800,000 in federal funds in 2023. After the bill's signing, California, of all places, was the first of 22 Democrat-led states to file suit against the Trump administration. The suit argued that the rule, which withdraws such funding for 1 year, violates Planned Parenthood's constitutionally protected advocacy of abortion access. In other words, they think that they have a constitutional right to kill and murder babies. Does the Constitution surpass this word? No, it don't. Word of God says choose life. But yet, millions of people in America vote and choose death.
You are supporting an organization called Pre-Born that supports ladies that want to keep their children.
Yeah.
Raise support for them and their families to do that.
Yeah. In early December, U.S. District Judge, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce their name, of Massachusetts issued a preliminary injunction blocking the law's implementation in the 22 states. One appeal lawyer for the Department of Justice argued that Congress enacted a routine restriction on the use of federal funds, something it does in every budget cycle. The Medicaid statute contains dozens of limits on how states may use federal funds. The lawyers wrote, when the states agreed to participate in Medicare, they knew that they would have to abide by such conditions. But they don't care. This is what they're doing with the immigration problem, that the ICE is out there backing up the law and backing up the Constitution, but they don't care. Anyway, the First Circuit three-judge panel of Democrat appointees ruled that the federal government's order had likely not exceeded its authority and allowed the law to become effective as legislation continues. Planned Parenthood reported 402,200 abortions in 2024, a record number, while receiving, this is under Biden, over $2 billion in revenue of your money to kill babies. Shameful. Billy Graham once said, if God don't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You read into it what you want. All right, tonight I want to go on tonight, a very little review, but I want to go on for a few minutes. And this is really a two-part message, and next week the second part is so very important. And I think maybe by the time we end up here tonight, because I want to set a stage here and then bring and present a problem and then present the answer next week. And it's too long to do it tonight. But last week we mentioned to you on the third R. Remember, we were looking at the three R's of Christian living. And last week we presented the third R, which is response. And the key word was yield. And this is response and yield to our new nature. Not our old, but our new nature. And we said that if you yield in your response, you become vitally involved with the other nature and with the other nature which indwells me, which is the divine nature. This is something we have as believers. We now are partakers of a divine nature. And we should switch off the old nature that we used to have, that is now dead, now been crucified, and consider it dead, and relate the issues of our everyday life that we face and relate them into the new nature. And in other words, I recognize the indwelling Christ as a real person, and I bring my body members to the faculties and to the place at His disposal. That we take our lives, present them to Him, and lay them down before Him to be used by God. And one of the outstanding scriptures for this that y'all are familiar with, but I don't think we can do it too much, and to remind us that Paul, Apostle Paul, in the 12th chapter of Romans, told us this. Now, when Paul says these things, these are not suggestions, okay? These are not, well, if you have time or you are to be doing this. These are things that He's commanded us. In verse 1, He says in the 12th chapter of Romans, He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, that's every one of us, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, indicating all yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice. What good is a sacrifice if you're dead? Okay? Remember, now your old nature had been put to death, but now you have a new nature, and that's alive. And you're to present it to God. That sounds like, to me, that should be number one in your life, shouldn't it? Presenting yourself to God should be very important, probably number one in your life. Isn't it strange that Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all this other stuff will be added to us? Now, I'm not a highly educated man, but what don't a lot of people understand about that? Seek first the kingdom of God. Very simple. You don't need two or three doctor's degree in theology to understand what Jesus said. To seek first the kingdom of God. And another thing I see, I'll just throw in the extra, that it's so simple, but yet we miss it so much, is you will reap what you sow. But how many times have we missed this? Oh, woe is me. Well, what did you sow? Pretty bad lifestyle? Well, why are you whining about what you're reaping? This is what you sowed. Very, very simple. And, anyway, he says, as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable or your logical, intelligent act of worship. We are to present ourselves holy. That indicates to me that in our Christian life, since we become a believer, that we need to mature and need to grow in our life that we're presenting to Him. You know, a lot of times I've heard people say, well, problems in my life, habits or addictions. I'm just going to give it to Jesus. Have you heard that? Listen, Jesus don't want your stinking habits, and He don't want your stinking addictions. He wants you. He wants you. Okay? You see, so many times Satan turns these priorities around backwards in our life. We get things backwards. On purpose. See, we get focused on the thing, and God is focused on you, on your very being. He wants you. And He goes on in verse 2, He says, do not be conformed to this world any longer with the superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as we are. We're being changed as we grow, should be daily. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we begin to grow daily by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly value and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is and that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. Renew your minds. How do we do that? The greatest psychology in the world, right here, knowing the mind of God, knowing the mind of Jesus. And you're going to learn that when you see Him and learn from His Word. And this is the purpose of all this, that we can see Jesus. We can see Him as daily He begins to transform us and you and I into the image of His Son. Now, taking all this, let's only look at this in a different way. We all have our behavioral patterns. Our behavioral pattern has grown and developed with us as our life has continued. Now, most of us in here are seniors. We call it being stuck in our old ways. We've lived a lot of years, and this old nature, this old behavior pattern comes from our old nature. We know how we're going to act because we do it over and over and over. We know that how we're going to react because that's exactly what we've been doing over the years of our life. Men, you're not hiding. If you've been married a long time, your wife knows exactly how you're going to act and how you're going to react. Okay? Ladies, the same goes for you. Your husband knows how you're going to act and react in life. There's certain events that's going to make you fearful. There's certain things that happen that's going to make you angry. And some of the items we respond in our old life pattern that we become joyous and we delight in. And there's others that will just plain be wilderness. And we do this year after year after year. Become sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. There's certain temptations, and almost always cause us to give way to our natural impulses and fall into sin. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter and first verse, it talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And we all have it. One or the other, and one is no worse than the other. I grant you, in this society we live in, the society looks at some sins worse than others. You can lie and get away with it, but you shoot somebody, you're going to jail. But sin is sin. Man makes up the judgment on what's not as bad as others. Now, before we become a Christian, our old behavior pattern It was the story of our life. Just like an old rerun of a movie. Same thing over and over. And most of us never realize that this pattern that we live in. And if we're confronted with it, we say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just me. You see, when we become a Christian, we begin to realize that I need to live a different kind of a life. I need to make a change because now I am a Christian. Well, at least you should. And most new believers begin to think that and realize that. I mean, I did as a child. I remember, okay, I got to be good. Cut down on my spankings that I get. Got to be a good little boy. So, with all my sincerity and enthusiasm, and like many other Christians, we start out to live for Jesus. I'm going to go out and live for Jesus. And we proceed to clean up our lives and to try to get rid of our bad habits and to remodel our whole method of living. And what we're trying to do is improve our old behavior patterns to start and live a Christian life. This is what's in us. And this is exactly what many Christians are doing even at this very moment. And this is what Christianity calls living the Christian life. The tragedy is that it then becomes increasingly difficult to improve that old behavior pattern that we've lived with for so many years. And then our failure to do so only increases our guilt. Because we fail to do this, we begin to get more and more, feel more and more guilty. Now think about a time or two in your life that you begin to feel so guilty, what happens? Satan comes in and begins to pound you. You're no good. You hypocrite, you. You better not let the pastor find out about you. And this happens many, many, many Christians. And then as a result, then it drives us to try harder. We're going to try harder to improve our old behavior pattern and make it acceptable to God. This is what we think. And it's really Satan is whispering that in your ear. You got to try harder. You got to be better. You got to do better. God's going to be mad at you. He'll strike you down with cancer or a bum leg or something. You know, you got to be better. And depending on our age and our sincerity and our enthusiasm, we keep on working at this impossible task until finally we accept defeat as normality. I'm defeated. I'm beat. That's just normal, and that happens to everybody. Then after that, we settle down to maintain the improvements we have made and accept the thoughts that, well, this is the way most Christians live, so I'm okay. The way most people live, I'm just fine. We may even come to the place to where it'll cause pride in us, and we can, because we sit back and we do see some improvements we've made in our life, and then we begin to compare them with others and say, well, I'm not so bad after all. A pride issue. Well, can you see the big mistake in all this? You see, this old behavior pattern is a product of our fallen human nature. We've all experienced this. And when we become true Christians, we have received a new nature, and we become a partaker of a divine nature. And when we do this, this gives us a new source, or it should give us a new source for living. Why do we want to go back and live the stinking life that we've lived in our past? You know, as we had brought out and taught you in this past few weeks, that the first R taught us to realize that in God's sight, when Christ died, I died. You see, once again here, God has finished with that old nature, which is called the flesh. He's done with it. And we have become new creatures, and the old things have passed away, and all things have become new and are continuously becoming new. It's an everyday thing. This is a growing pattern. It takes time. We're to go be growing every day, a little bit. The way you do it is be in the Word, be in church, worship, enjoy the fellowship, pray, talk to the Lord. Talk to Him when you're going down the road. Don't talk to the guy that just cut you off. He can't hear you. Talk to the Lord. Okay? Even that slowpoke that's in front of you, don't run him over. Just going to cause you more problems. Talk to the Lord. See, our old behavior pattern is the path of our old nature or our flesh. The big mistake is that we make is in trying to improve it and make it better. When God is finished with it, but we try to make it acceptable to Him. Paul tells us in Romans in the 8th chapter, in verse 8, he says, "And those who are in the flesh," that's living a life that caters to the sinful appetites and impulses, "cannot please God." This is your works he's talking about here. And we try to live our life by our old life pattern. We're trying to please God in the flesh. And we can't do that. It's not pleasing to God at all. You know, many times we try to take things like this and Christianize them. We try to Christianize our old behavior pattern and Christianize the flesh. What many people try to do. And this is all wrong. You see, it may sound good to the human heart, but it does nothing for the heart of God at all. Because you're trying to live your life in your old pattern in the flesh. And there's nothing that you can do in the flesh. And that includes try to live for Jesus. Listen, folks, you can't live for Jesus. Okay? Jesus told you that. He says, you cannot do nothing without me. That includes living the Christian life. That includes going out and trying to live for Jesus. Now, what you can do is you can allow Christ to live His life through you. But you can't do it. I don't care how many Hail Marys you say and how many rosaries you count or candles you light. It doesn't make any difference. You can't live for Jesus. And it doesn't matter how sincere you want to be, and you want to live for Him, good and noble and pure lives. But listen, folks, many we fail to see that there's only one good and noble and pure Christian life, and that's the life of Christ. You can't do it, but He can. And it was a wonderful time in my life when I realized that, when God says, "Bob, quit trying." You know, You might think, well, oh man, God's mad at you. I went through it. I'm human just like you. I went through it. I fought it. And I fought it in divorce many years ago, and I felt that God was out there whooping me with a hickory stick and beat me up. And the more he beat me up, the more I tried to do better. The more I tried to do better, the more down I got, the more failure came, the more I got disgusted. And I got mad at God and quit going to church. 3 months, I just quit. What do you think that did to God? Nothing. What do you think it did to Bob? Pure disgusted. Not at him. And that disgust turned to comedy because I started laughing at myself. Because I've told you before, I'm not the smartest cookie out there, okay? I started laughing myself. How dumb. Now listen, I tell you all this because I know probably every one of you has went through the same thing, okay? If not, at least most of you have. You sit back and look at yourself and you got to laugh. Because we've all experienced that failure in our life, and it's all because we try to live in our old behavior pattern. When all along, not knowing it, God had given me a new behavioral pattern, a new life, and I didn't even know it. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and what? I am the life. I am the life. And no amount of sincere improvement to that old behavior pattern will ever make it acceptable to God, folks. None at all. So, what then is the answer? Well, no human mind could ever imagine that this tremendous solution, this problem of failure in the life of the believer, could be so simple. So, the answer to your old behavior pattern is simple. Let's make a new one. Let's make a new one. Okay? You're a new creature? God, I need a new behavior pattern. My old one should be passed away. It's done nothing but brought failure in my life and disgust to God because it's of the flesh. Let's make a new one. And people, this is what we're going to look at next week, is how to make a new behavioral pattern. And I want to encourage you, this is most important because this is something that we all experience. I have. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. What I'm about to tell you next week, it works. Because it come right from here. And it come right from the Holy Spirit. We call it secrets of God, but it's no secret. It's not a secret that God don't want you to know. It's a secret that He does want you to know. So next week we're going to open up the pages, and we're going to begin to learn how to make a new behavioral pattern. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that opens up our hearts, our minds, Lord, that we could live for you. Lord, teach us how to make a new behavior pattern, Lord, that we could live our lives pleasing to you, giving ourselves to you and allowing you to live through us. Because after all, you bought us and paid for us by a price, by your precious blood that was shed for us. Lord, we thank you for all these things that you have given us in Christ's name. Amen.